Welcome to AQR's The Curious Investor. I'm Dan Villalon.
And I'm Gabe Figali. On this show, we break down some of the most important ideas in finance to help us make better investment decisions.
Today, we're exploring two different ways to approach investing, often called quant and fundamental. We're going to talk about how quant and fundamental managers think about investing and how it affects their portfolios.
We'll also debunk some common misconceptions about quant and fundamental, including why the terms themselves are so misleading. And finally, we'll see how their differences might actually make them work well together. To do that, we brought along some experts in the field. First, a well-known quant.
Hi, I'm Cliff Asness, co-founder and managing principal of AQR Capital Management.
And also joining us is one of the biggest names in fundamental investing.
I'm Lee Ainsley, managing partner at Maverick Capital, which I founded in 1993.
Finally, to help us compare and contrast quant and fundamental strategies, we brought along another colleague.
I'm Adrienne Ross. I work on the global stock selection team here at AQR.
Most people know that quant and fundamental portfolios tend to be pretty different, but not everyone understands why. It comes down not just to the different approaches the managers take, but the actual philosophies that underlie them.
For Lee Ainsley, that education began decades ago when he was influenced by famed fundamental investor Julian Robertson.
I went to business school at the University of North Carolina and was asked to work with the board on a few things, and Julian was on the board. I've been playing with stocks since I was in eighth grade. It was just sort of my hobby. So we would talk about stocks, which for me was a thrill, obviously.
Julian Robertson's Tiger Management was one of the most well-known hedge funds of the 80s and the 90s. And Lee's deep dives and expertise into individual stocks impressed Julian so much that he was asked to join Tiger right out of business school. There, Lee cut his teeth by picking stocks in the retail and technology sectors. And a few years later, he set off to start his own hedge fund, Maverick Capital.
Fundamental investors like Lee and his team at Maverick tend to have a highly focused research process, and it delves deep into learning about specific companies. Like Lee in his early years, many analysts at Maverick focus within specific sectors. And in order to invest in a stock, they need to know it inside and out.
Quants, on the other hand, approach investing from a pretty different angle. For quants like AQR co-founder Cliff Asness, it's one that's firmly rooted in academic-style research.
I'm ultimately a creature of academia. I think 25 years of the real world has made me kind of applied and worrying about all the things you have to worry about when you do these things for real. But if you look at the genesis of what I believe in and what kind of AQR believes in, the work in academia, particularly in the 80s and early 90s on value investing, momentum investing, the world has grown wider since then. But those key things, and they resonated with me.
Cliff got his PhD from the University of Chicago. There, he was influenced by the scientific method of posing a question or hypothesis and testing it with lots and lots of data. And partly because of that, AQR's investment process is similar to an academic institution's. Researchers create hypotheses and build models to test them, often using data to cover hundreds and sometimes thousands of securities. It's less about the specifics of any one security and more about analyzing data across a broad investment universe.
And that brings us to a key difference: breadth versus depth. Fundamental investors tend to emphasize individual positions and depth. Take Maverick as an example.
We typically have only about two or three positions per investment professional, which I think gives you some idea of the scope of the work and the time we spend on each investment. And that type of concentration allows us to do extensive research, not only on the companies, but their competitors, their suppliers, their customers, in an attempt to really have a very thoughtful, long-term strategic view. And that's really what we view as our core competency.
In lots of cases, fundamental investors will tailor their assessments based on specific circumstances. So, for example, if they're looking for cheap stocks, they might apply their own judgment and expertise in terms of how to define cheap.
I think part of the art of being a good fundamental investor is being comfortable with a range of valuation methodologies and having the skill to recognize which one or two may be the most relevant in different situations, and obviously how that compares to growth and sustainability of that growth and what is growing, revenues or free cash flow or earnings, et cetera, all comes into play.
Fundamental approaches like Lee's do use quantitative information, but often a fundamental manager's decisions also involve information that isn't easily quantifiable. And this information can be valuable because it might not be fully reflected in current prices.
We'll spend time with several levels of management, preferably in several different locations, really try to spend time with suppliers to the degree we can understand customer activity, and competitors are a very important part of the process as well.
Gabe, you and I know that doesn't sound like AQR's process or team structure at all. Here's Cliff again.
The idea that a quant would walk up to an individual stock and have a strong opinion is just bizarre.
A quant approach generally starts with a whole lot of securities and then applies an investment thesis to form opinions on them. It's much less about the unique characteristics of any individual company. So in some sense, while fundamental managers might think of their portfolio as a collection of good companies, quants might think of their portfolios as a collection of good themes or ideas. This means quant portfolios can end up looking very different than fundamental ones.
The way we mean quant at AQR, and this is why I have to be careful because I don't speak for every quant, both being systematic and pursuing what we do at diversification are probably the two key characteristics for me that sets quants apart, at least in how they implement what they do.
Because quants can be systematic and diversified, the edge they're looking for is pretty different than the edge a fundamental manager looks for.
I think quant gets a lot of its power from diversification, from betting on ideas, not on specific companies, specific countries, specific versions of those ideas.
A quant's portfolio can have hundreds of positions. And so results are driven by the performance of the underlying ideas that they follow, not an individual stock. They'll say something like, value is up, or quality is struggling. Whereas a fundamental manager might point to a specific stock and say, hey, tech company A was down, or utility company B did well, and here are some of the specific reasons why.
Clearly, quant portfolios can look pretty different from fundamental ones. And this leads to some pretty big misconceptions about each.
Let's start with diversification. In a quant's portfolio, no individual position really matters that much. So a common criticism is quants don't have conviction.
I think it's a very misguided comment. We do have tremendous conviction in the ideas we bet on. We bet that cheap, profitable things with positive carry and low risk and generating consistent profits will beat their counterparts across many geographies and asset classes. We have tremendous conviction in that, so much so that we don't want to bet on the things we don't have conviction in, like an individual stock.
In contrast, fundamental investors do have conviction in individual stocks. They can have strong opinions on unique characteristics of a company and actually try to capitalize on them. A quant views these unique characteristics as less valuable because, by definition, if they're unique, they aren't part of a broad investment thesis. Both types of investors can have equally strong conviction. It's just applied to different things.
Here's another knock on quant. They rely too much on historical data to predict future returns, like driving using a rearview mirror.
I think there's some fairness to it in that we're mainly looking at past data. But there is a tremendous amount of perspective to it, too. We're trying to look out the windshield also, because we're not just doing everything that has ever produced a good backtest. We're doing that subset of things that make sense to us intuitively, economically, have worked in a ton of different places, and we judgmentally, and this is where some big judgment comes in, believe will work going forward. I don't think it's that different than what a more judgmental stock picker does.
And this judgment leads to a common criticism of fundamental investors. They're only human. And us humans, we can do silly things. For example, a stock's entry price shouldn't influence our opinion of a stock today. But it does. We can fall prey to lots of biases when investing. And we covered a bunch of them earlier in the season. And Lee, even though he's only human, has some ways to combat this.
I understand that human nature and understand the bias of being anchored to, I bought it here and I want it to be profitable, so I'm going to wait till it gets back to that price, whatever that means. But we actually, even in our different runs don't even show that. We don't show P&L, we don't show entry price, we show today's price.
Another criticism of fundamental managers is with data. Capital markets have tons of moving pieces, from financial statements of a company to the financial statements of its competitors to what's going on in the macro environment. Critics of fundamental managers argue there's just no way for the human mind to correctly process all that information. But Lee says it's not so black and white.
When they understand the extent to which quant influences, not just the quant funds, but on the fundamental side, screening, modeling, position sizing, risk in a lot of different ways, they're surprised. And it requires some discipline. I mean, you can't apply quantitative techniques to subjective judgments. You have to quantify those judgments, right, and put them in a format that we can now work with. And they need to be accurate and consistent and all that. I would argue requires discipline, which in its own right is very healthy, but allows us to use quantitative techniques to influence a fundamental portfolio.
Fundamental managers do use quantitative tools to make investment decisions. But really, their bread and butter is in the deep dives they take into individual positions. Which means in the fundamental world, you can have highly, sometimes wildly differentiated opinions on specific stocks. And you can really stand out from the crowd. Well, what about quants? If they're all processing vast amounts of data, shouldn't they all be coming to the same conclusions? Critics say that all quant portfolios basically look the same. There's no good quant, there's no bad quant, it's all just quant. Cliff doesn't agree with that.
We've looked at some research and we've done some research, and our belief is actually that non-quants are actually similarly correlated to quantitative managers, meaning correlated to each other at a surprisingly similar rate to how quants are correlated to each other.
A fundamental manager will pick a relatively small number of stocks. So you'd guess that the active returns of fundamental managers can be pretty different from one another. They're lowly correlated. In general, that's true. We've posted a paper on aqr.com/curious with the numbers. What Cliff points out, though, is that the correlations across quant managers are also pretty low. And this is surprising to a lot of people. So how can quants disagree with each other as much as fundamental managers do? It's all the different little decisions that go into the process. Some quants use technical signals, others use fundamental ones. And even within a single fundamental measure, like value, some quants use cash flows to price, others use forecasted earnings to price. The list goes on and on.
The reality is, fundamental and quant have more in common than you might realize.
So all considered, I think a lot of the criticisms, some are just overdone. Many are just, we're speaking a different language. You can have two smart people who come to correct conclusions who don't share a common language and therefore get confused about what each other is saying.
And partly because of that, the terms quant and fundamental don't really do a great job distinguishing active managers anymore. That said, the jury is still out on what exactly to call these approaches to investing.
I don't have a great label. Judgmental is one I've used, but I don't love that either because I think we use judgment. You know, if you call us systematic active, which is something I like to call us, I don't think it's fair to call them unsystematic active. They might have a system to what they do. It might be just a different one than we do. But I'll say, in coming up with a definition of what it means to be an active investor, people get a little weird about it.
Whatever you want to call them, at the end of the day, people want to know, which approach is better?
So let's look at the evidence. And for that, we turn to AQR's Adrienne Ross. She and her co-authors wrote Systematic versus Discretionary, a paper that compares the track records of hundreds of quant and fundamental managers. And you'll notice a change in terminology here. Adrienne and others argue the words systematic for quant and discretionary for fundamental are better descriptors.
The overwhelming majority of the results show that no matter how you slice it, whatever region, time period, market cap you're looking at, in terms of returns or excess returns or active returns above a benchmark, tends to be about the same. There are no clear advantage in terms of which approach is better than the other.
This might seem surprising. Two very different approaches both seem to work about the same, at least historically. There were some differences, though. One was related to risk relative to a benchmark.
Systematic managers tend to have lower tracking error, lower active risk. So what that ultimately means is that similar returns over time both can lead to good investment results. However, the way in which a systematic manager gets there is very different from the perspective of not as high highs and not as low lows.
Adrian uses a baseball analogy to illustrate these differences.
If you think about a discretionary approach, which is investing in sort of a very concentrated portfolio, a handful of names, you can think of them as kind of these home run hitters. The power hitters tend to strike out a lot.
So while fundamental managers might hit more home runs, they might strike out more too.
In contrast, a systematic or a quantitative approach tends to be more smooth and steady returns in a similar way to a baseball player might be more of a singles and a doubles hitter.
You might expect fewer strikeouts from quants, but don't expect as frequent home runs either. Continuing the baseball analogy, Adrian says having both a slugger and a consistent hitter in your lineup can be valuable.
You'd probably want both of them on your team. In the same way as if you're building an overall investment portfolio, you probably want both systematic and discretionary approaches within your overall process.
And this isn't a surprise to either Cliff or Lee. Both of them have elements of fundamental and quant as part of how they invest. For Cliff, it's taking fundamental economic ideas and using them in a quantitative process. For Lee, it's adding multiple layers of quant into the backbone of his highly focused fundamental process.
For folks who want to read more about quant versus fundamental, or systematic versus discretionary, or whatever you want to call it, check out this episode's page at aqr.com/curious. And if you have better labels for this topic, let us know via email at curious@aqr.com.
And with that, season one of The Curious Investor is a wrap. We hope you learned something new and had some fun. We certainly did.
So from us and the whole team behind The Curious Investor, thanks for taking the time to listen. I'm Dan Villalon.
And I'm Gabe Figali. Stay curious, folks. The views expressed in this recording are the personal views of the participants as of the date indicated, and do not necessarily reflect the views of AQR itself. Nothing contained in this recording constitutes investment, legal, tax, or other advice, and it should not be viewed as a current or past recommendation or solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any securities or to adopt any investment strategy.
The information in this recording is based on current market conditions, which will fluctuate and may be superseded by subsequent market events or for other reasons. AQR does not assume any duty to update forward-looking statements.
The information in this recording has been developed internally and/or obtained from sources believed to be reliable. However, no representation or warranty, expressed or implied, is made or given by or on behalf of AQR as to the accuracy and completeness or fairness of the information contained in this recording.
Any liability as a result of this recording, including any direct, indirect, special, or consequential loss or damage, is expressly disclaimed. Copyright 2018, AQR Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.
I think you were just going to answer yes to that.
Yeah, yeah. It was either yes or an 11-minute breathe twice diatribe. Those are the only two ways I roll.